This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Michael Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer of United Way of Southeast Louisiana. And every year they issue a report called the ALICE Report, which is an acronym for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed Report. It is a report that is different than the federally identified poverty level report. And hopefully Michael will be able to explain those differences for us. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Michael, if we could start off the differences, because I think sometimes people get confused.
Yeah. So certainly. So we often talk about folks that live in poverty, which is roughly about 19% throughout the state of Louisiana. What we often don't talk about is the folks that live slightly above the poverty level, but don't earn enough to meet what we consider a basic survival budget. We call those households ALICE. And as you mentioned, that acronym stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And so we have a study and report that really speaks to the challenges they face.
So I guess people would recognize this when the talking heads refer to it as the working poor, right? Those that are working that are right above that threshold as to how do they meet their expenses day in and day out.
Absolutely. These are folks that I say all the time, they're doing the right things. They've got a job or two or three, and they're trying to earn a living and try to take care of their families, but they don't earn enough, and their wages consistently don't keep pace with inflation, and especially now, which has been, you know, extremely high. But they're doing the right things. They're not relying on just assistance from outside sources, government, others. They're, like, showing up at a job, And so we've used this report to advocate for them and talk about things we could do to help them, you know, get on a pathway to financial stability and ultimately economic prosperity.
Michael, if 19% of the Louisiana population lives below the federally identified poverty level, what is the number of those that are ALICE?
It's roughly about 30%, Newell. So in total, you're looking at almost 50% between poverty and ALICE households, which means one in two households. But that 30% represents, you know, once again, individuals, households that are showing up every day and they're going to work. Like I said, they might be working two jobs to piece together an income. They may be operating in the gig economy and operating kind of multiple gigs. But the net result of their income leaves them a little bit short of reaching what we consider the basic survival budget, which speaks to housing, utilities, transportation, child care, access to the internet, like, which is an absolute necessity these days.
You know, we often talk about Louisiana being a poor state. It came up in my conversation. I've been interviewing all of the gubernatorial candidates with John Schroeder today and how much of a challenge that is. But when you hear this 49% number, where do we rank nationally? Probably the 50 or 49, right?
Well, when it comes to the ALICE report, we're second in the nation as far as having a number of ALICE households, only surpassed by Mississippi. And so, which, you know, we talk about oftentimes, you know, we want to be on the top of the good list, not the bad list. And this report should inform, like, our approaches and how we get there, which ultimately are about how do you grow wages? How do you equip families with the skills they need to manage, you know, their incomes in a way that allows them to grow, you know, to develop assets and grow their wealth?
Now, this report covers what years?
So this is for 2021.
As you
can imagine, there's a lag because you have to get the data to pull. Yeah, but and we know the data doesn't change a lot in the course of a year. But it is a 2021 data.
But Michael, the point I was going to make is it might. I mean, because as I was reading through the report, and I didn't know if it was a 1 or a 2 year report. That's why I asked the question, which was poorly worded, by the way. But anyway, the reason I ask is that as I sat there reading through the report, it occurred to me with inflation, with the challenges that we're having with auto insurance, health insurance, homeowners insurance, I got to imagine if we took this snapshot today, it's even worse.
Yeah, you make a good point. Matter of fact, there are oftentimes addendum reports that are done which speak to Alice in the crosshairs. And the reality is when those issues are on the horizon, Alice is in the crosshairs, often, you know, the first to be affected and dramatically affected. And we see that in real time when families are making tough choices because, you know, because insurance rates are going up or just the cost of goods going up. And some of the things, some of the warning signs we see on the horizon, Newell, are food insufficiency. Obviously, people continue to struggle to pay bills, but also the corresponding mental health challenges that come along with that, because having issues financially doesn't really translate well into positive mental health outcomes.
So let's talk numbers, if you don't mind. I think you probably know the federally identified poverty numbers off the top of your head and compare those to the ALICE numbers.
So absolutely. So let's talk about, we'll pull some information up for you real quick here, but let's talk about the household income. Let's go with the survival budget for, you know, an individual household that we would consider to be ALICE. And those ALICE households, an individual needs to make a little bit more than $15 per hour to meet their basic survival budget needs. However, an individual that lives in poverty is earning obviously far less than that. And so we look at it from the standpoint of what is the survival budget for an individual. Then we certainly look at, you know, a family, two caring adults, and two children, and that translates into about $30 per household that they would need to earn to be able to meet their basic needs. And so, that's how you delineate between that 19% that struggle, you know, every day in poverty versus the folks that are slightly above, don't qualify for various forms of government assistance, and are left to their own device, and are, you know, in a real struggle. And that's about that 30% of the households.
So, and I know you guys work on this. I mean, Tontron has a great podcast out there right now on minimum wage and the minimum wage in this state. And we've kind of taken a hands-off approach of setting a minimum wage at $7.50 an hour. At that $7.50, you're definitely in the FPL, right? The federal poverty level.
Absolutely. So 2021 data that tells us that the federal poverty level for an individual was $12,880 for a single adult. And then for a family of four, it's $26,500 in order to qualify and be considered in federal terms, you know, living in poverty. And so, as you can imagine, now those families have to pursue receiving public benefits, et cetera, to try to piecemeal together the things they need to meet their basic needs. But you look at it on its face value, you know, that's a significantly low wages. And then if we look at the folks that live, you know, above slightly or even kind of middle of the road house, you know, households, they're still not earning enough to meet those basic needs. And what we've determined is, and you talk about minimum wage, Noel, we pivot to think about it from a livable wage standpoint. And what we find is bare bones minimum amount that somebody would need to earn to be able to live and survive. We can look at Orleans Parish in particular if we want, is about $15.33 an hour, or if there's two adults working, $37.08 per hour. So significantly greater than what the federal poverty level is. So basically double, if you will.
And one of the reasons is because we're affordable housing challenged, right? I mean, we're landlocked, so we don't gain the benefit of the series of concentric circles of building out. And it really highlights the importance of public transportation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I tell you, one thing you'll see in the report, because I know you've looked at it, but one might look at, you know, what we have as a survival budget around housing, you know, rent for a family of four. The report is focused on fair market value, so fair market rent values, which in the report for a family of four, based on HUD data, is $880. Now, those of us that live in the area wonder, where do you find a place to hold a family of four that you can get for $880? It doesn't speak to the availability. I mean, it certainly can underscore the demand. But the reality is we have an affordable housing crisis. We have an enormous number of households that are struggling to meet their basic needs, housing being a significant expense, and they don't have anywhere to go. And to your point, if they can move outside of the city and have the option to come into the city and work, and maybe they're working in one of our service industries, hospitality, then you have to have transportation, but they can't afford a car. And if you don't have the public transportation systems that reach that far, it makes it even more challenging. And they get left with making really, really tough decisions about what job I can take, who's going to care for my children. If I can't afford childcare, I can't get publicly funded childcare. And so it's a big challenge. Once again, that's 30%. I mean, you know, 30% of our households are in total with poverty. It's, you know, 50%. It's something we should all care about.
Michael, how important is public policy, you know, the manner in which government reacts to market conditions? I mean, we've been wedded to the tourism industry a long time. That's good and it's bad. And it's worked well for us in many respects, but not so good in other respects. And as we attempt to diversify our economy, it seems to me, and again, you know, you get these little light bulbs that go off as you read through this report. It occurs that we need to be fighting hard, like GNO Inc. does and others out there, you know, just scratching and scraping, trying to get as many jobs as we can to this area, because, I mean, that's the only, right now, really, one of the predominant difference makers.
Yeah, absolutely, Noel. And hats off to, you know, we're a regional organization, so we work with a lot of these partners. But hats off to GNO Inc., St. Tammany Corp., the local economic development foundations are all doing their part to try to, you know, diversify the economy by bringing, you know, jobs to town. I think also, too, we want to do away with the myth that we're just talking about, you know, somebody works in a restaurant or a hotel. These are also personal care aides. These are individuals that work in the personal care industry that are taking care of, you know, our elderly and sometimes our children. And, you know, their wages are significantly, I mean, on average, a personal care aide worker makes $8.75 per hour. So this is a diverse range of folks that fill up this kind of Alice category. But yes, we have to diversify the economy. And I also think that by informing employers about what a livable wage is, we feel confident with the right help and guidance, yeah, they're willing to work on ways to improve wages for their employees, especially coming out of the pandemic where we saw the importance of essential workers. And to your point, Noel, that kind of where you started the question, that happens through public policy and advocacy. Like, we will never fundraise our way and nonprofit our way out of, you know, challenges that face households. Those require significant public policy changes. But we also know that with those changes, we lift households out of their places of financial instability. It has a massive positive impact on the economy. And I think our numbers previously had a little better. If we brought all households to a survival budget wage, that would improve our state's GDP over $53 billion annually. So there's an economic upside to taking really smart approaches from a public policy standpoint.
What do you think is the biggest impediment
along those lines? Yeah, it's a great question, Noel. And, because we consider ourselves neutral, now, we're advocating for 50% of our, you know, population that struggle to meet their basic needs.
Let me back up one second and approach it this way, to be fair to you. Okay. I think government inefficiency drives me absolutely crazy. And if I may be so bold as to suggest, I think it probably has you wanting to jump off a cliff sometimes. Because when you look, when you look at those dollars and you think about how you could leverage that in doing what needs to be done, that coupled with the public policy, this doesn't get that hard.
Yeah, we're kind of speaking to the yin and the yang of the public sector and the private sector, the role government can play, and we do some really cool partnership work with local governments and state government, where we're offering scalable and impactful solutions. And so I think back to the genesis of the question, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Both have a role to play.
Absolutely.
We also think that the individuals, let's not forget that the individuals, those that are allies, have a role to play in this as well. Like seeking out, the training and the job training opportunities to develop the skills so they're marketable in some of these higher wage jobs that our economic development friends are going out and pursuing. And so it's a matter of us all playing our right roles. I will say that I can speak for ourselves and a lot of my nonprofit colleagues. We tend to be very, very efficient, very, very effective. We design programs. We're very nimble, and we can move extremely fast, where sometimes government can. But there's a role for all of us to play, but I don't want us to forget two things. One is Alice households play a role in this. They have to do their part. But also, their constituents, Newell, they vote. These are individuals that have the power. Yeah, the greatest power you could ever have on this planet is the power to vote and influence democracy. And we're trying to make sure our households know you need to use that and use that to influence, both the making of policy, but the people who make the policy.
I remind people of that every day, and that's to every group, every socioeconomic group out there. You want to impact what's going on in your life? Walk into the voting booth. It's the best chance, the best opportunity that you have on any given day.
And we know, Newell, it can be intimidating, but at the same time, we oftentimes as organizations offer education and training and skill building. So how do you become a good advocate? How do you know how to research legislation and understand what's going to affect me? You think about the insurance crisis we're under. Like, a lot of people just don't even know where to start. Like, how do you even begin, as an individual to tackle that? We try to make sure they have the knowledge and information they need to make informed decisions.
Hell, with all the education I have, Michael, I don't know where to start. I'm quite honest with you. And I'm sure you probably feel the same way, and just providing
it's
insurance for your folks at United Way. It's crazy sometimes.
Yes,
thank
sir,
you so much. We're going to have you back on. We'll talk more about this, but I wanted to get you on with the release of the Alice Report. I love what y'all do, and thank you so much for the service that y'all provide to the community.
Well, thanks, Neil. Thank you for your support, as always.
All righty. It's Michael Williams, President and Chief Executive Officer, United Way of Southeast Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks, with Alexandra McGilligan from the Greek Fest. We'll talk about what they have coming your way this weekend. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.